And the hymn is Spirit, and it's number 319 in the large blue hymnal.
Spirit, 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 Spir Our gospel lesson for today is from the book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not reply to this. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he might say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers to the banquet, or your rich relatives or neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, in this scripture, I have the answer to a question that has long plagued humanity. Why do Presbyterians sit as far back in the sanctuary as they can? Apparently, it's because Presbyterians take scripture seriously, and they don't want to seem as if they are exalting themselves, and they are waiting for someone to invite them to sit closer. Mystery solved. Okay, it sounded funny when I had the thought in the middle of the night, and some of you laughed, so. But seriously, what's going on here? Why is Jesus suddenly turned into Miss Manners? I mean, here we are going with Jesus to eat at the home of a Pharisee on the Sabbath. We might imagine that this scene happens on the same day that our passage from last week happened, when he cured the woman who was bent over from the demon. Our passage for today comes in just on the heels of that story, with a couple of parables in between, and another interesting moment that is left out of the lectionary selections, in which a group of Pharisees come to Jesus and tell him that Herod wants him killed. He responds by calling Herod that fox and giving a lament for Jerusalem, and then he goes on to dinner. But it kind of makes you wonder why these Pharisees came and told Jesus that Herod was after him, if they were also after him. Because as we see, when Jesus goes to the Pharisee's house, he's being watched by the Pharisees, watched to see what he would do, for he had already healed on the Sabbath. Watched because he had established himself as Lord of the Sabbath by allowing his disciples to pick and eat grain on the Sabbath, and by healing a man with a withered hand and a woman bent over with a demon that we heard last week. Each time the Pharisees object that Jesus is working or allowing work to be done on the Sabbath. And each time Jesus rebuts them with ease. And even as he goes to the home of this man who is identified as a leader of the Pharisees, he heals another person on the Sabbath. And again they protest, and again he silences them with his answer. And so they are watching him. And as everyone is coming into the house, Jesus was watching them decide where to sit. Now, I myself hate it when I am by myself going into a large group meal or meeting or anything like that, and I have to decide where to sit. I become unsure of myself. How do I know if I'm welcome to sit next to someone or with a certain group? Especially if, if there are no people that I know who are already there. So I often go and sit at a table by myself and let others sit with me or not as they choose. Kind of passive-aggressive, wouldn't you think? If you've watched Downton Abbey, you might have noticed how elaborate seating etiquette was for the Victorians, at least for those in the landed class. The host and hostess often sat in the middle of the table on opposite sides, with guests sitting in descending order of importance on each side of them. And in today's table etiquette, often the hosts sit at either end of the table with the male guest of honor sitting to the right of the hostess and the female guest of honor sitting to the right of the host. Or so I'm told. I don't often have formal dinners, but that's the way my grandmother used to do it. And so I think it probably still holds in some circles. But it just goes to show that table etiquette, even when there are rules, can be a tricky thing. And as the seating commences, Jesus observes, drawing from wisdom literature, that it's better not to take one of the best seats in the house to begin with, because what if someone of higher status comes in after you and you're asked to move? Awkward. That would be embarrassing, and it might be a reason that place cards came into being. The smart thing to do, perhaps the shrewd thing to do, is to sit at a lower place, and then maybe the host will come to you and invite you to move forward. Sort of like being bumped from business class to first class in an airplane, right? And then Jesus adds this tagline, "All who exalt themselves will be humbled. And all who humble themselves will be exalted." And this is when we know that Jesus isn't just giving instructions in manners or protocol. I mean, these people surely knew the rules, and they were surely savvy enough to know how to finagle the best seat possible. And we also notice that Luke calls this a parable, so we know that Jesus is not making just an observation. But Jesus is making a point. And with a turn of phrase like that, what else can Jesus be talking about but the kingdom of God? In the kingdom of God, it won't be earthly human values that are lifted up, values like power and wealth and status. Those won't be the things that determine our place in the kingdom of God. God will determine each person's place in the kingdom of God. Not because of who they are, but because of who God is. Race, ethnicity, class, gender, none of these things will make a difference to God when the kingdom comes. And at the end of the passage, Jesus ups the ante even more. If you give a lunch or a dinner, don't invite someone who can pay you back. Instead, invite the poor and the disabled, because they can't pay you back. And then God will reward you in the resurrection. It's all about hospitality and generosity. Offering something to someone with no expectation that they will return the favor. Again, I look at modern etiquette rules, which say that if someone invites you to dinner, you're bound to invite them back, right? But manners according to Jesus says it's better to invite someone who can't return the favor. And again, I think we're talking about more than a dinner invitation here. This kind of thinking extends to caring for others in all situations with no strings attached, no expectation of reward, but just because it's the right thing to do. That also means no expectations that things will change for the one that you care for, or that the care you offer will be accepted, or that the care you give will have the effect that you hope for. It just becomes sticky when human relationships, human personalities, and manipulation come into play. Because yes, there are folks who will take advantage of your generosity. And yes, there are folks who will take and take and take some more. And yes, there are folks who never seem to learn how to take care of themselves, who never seem to learn the American lessons of self-sufficiency. But at our very best, as Christians, we are to care for these individuals without question. We are to love them, we are to comfort them, we are to have compassion on them. We are to feed and clothe them without expectation of reward. That's just the way it is. That's what Jesus says. But we are human too, and we get hurt sometimes. And it isn't a promise of God that in this life there will be no hurt. It's in the next life, if I remind you. And we become wary and fearful, and we build walls around our hearts that close us off from human relationships and human suffering. But we must remember that it pleases God when we care for the poor souls who can't care for themselves, whatever the reason. It pleases God when we open our doors, our tables, and our hearts to those in need. It pleases God when we bind the wounds of the afflicted, when we fill the bellies of the hungry, when we forget our own selves and our own need for reward, and put aside our own needs and wants in order to care for someone who is in need, whoever they are, whatever the reason, with no expectation of reward. For the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that begins small and grows into a large bush, making a place for birds to nest and providing shade, not to mention a spice that makes our food, our hot dogs, taste good. The kingdom of heaven is like a yeast kneaded into bread that rises from a small bit of bread into wonderful rolls and biscuits and loaves that feed empty bellies and comfort our weary souls. And the kingdom of God is like a table where, with everyone gathered around it, rich and poor, male and female, and transgendered, heterosexual and gay, powerful and powerless, legal and illegal, all of the ways that we are different, all of the ways that we might see others as wrong or right, all of the ways we are human. The kingdom of God is like a table where we are all gathered round and fed with the bread and wine that reminds us of the one who gave all for us with no expectation of return. Amen.